call the regular session to order. We have resolution 23-482, moved by Councilor Haskin, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved that council of the corporation of Tustin, Colorado is hereby reconvened into regular open session of council at
6:32 PM.
All the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land in which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, work towards truth and reconciliation. Roll call again.
Councillor Marley Haskell.
Yes. Councillor Nick Ryland.
Councillor Debbie Zulock.
Councillor Mike Hakkinen.
Deputy Clerk Carly Britton.
And Mayor David Moore. Are there any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. Resolution 23-483, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McCullough does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held July 18, 2023. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-484, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskin. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McCullough does hereby approve the minutes of the July 4th, 2023 regular meeting of Council to circulate. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Board minutes recommendations for approval. Resolution 23-485, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the minutes of the February 22nd, 2023, March 22nd, 2023, April 26th, 2023, and May 24th, 2023 meetings of the District of Parry Sound West, Belvedere Heights Board of Management. Discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And the resolution 23-486, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the minutes of the May 26, 2023 and June 26, 2023 meetings of the Township of McKellar Public Library Board. Any discussion of those minutes?
There's a couple things in here, starting on page bottom of page 2 and top of page 3 about the performance review procedures. And my question for council is, given that the library board has these, I wonder why we don't have the same. And obviously that's really an INA question, so I'm not sure that we're able to answer. But it is somewhat embarrassing to find out that they have them and we don't, at least to the best of my knowledge. So. And I would like to see us, at the very least, it would be likely that they would share these with us, wouldn't it, if we asked for them? Do you think they would share their, you know, exactly what they call them here, their performance review procedures? And that's what's mentioned at the bottom of page 2 and top of page 3. And I'm not looking for any like secrets, just, you know, what's readily available.
But I thought we had something in place.
Years ago we did, not more recently, unless previous councils have done something.
Yeah.
It always comes down to who actually performs the performance appraisal.
Yeah.
And that's the difficult part, because you'd have your senior admin, I guess anybody who reports to her, but then who reviews her? And that's something we haven't really resolved yet, because we're not in here on a daily basis working.
No, I mean, at best, I think council could review them, but I mean, I don't know that we're in a position to assess them. I mean, it's simply to say that we're aware of them. My point being that I genuinely believe that we have to have performance appraisals on every employee every year, and the failure to do so leaves people unaccountable and directly affects the performance of, well, of the staff and or of the township, right? And we should have them. And I think, I mean, they have to be scalable to a small organization like ours, of course. I'm not looking for something, you know, at world-class level, just something that basically institutes that. And the fact that we have you know, a board that has this and we don't, quite frankly, to me, is embarrassing, right? And I think there's things we can do. I think we could hire an HR consultant if we think it's worthwhile, and or at least update the service delivery review, if that's what it was called. I think that's what it was called. It didn't get into those details in that document that I recall, but somebody with an HR background, I think, could give us some things, and we could have, you know, we could stage the introduction of those things and do them for an appropriate scale and introduce them. And again, so I think it would be very valuable for us, for me, to know, you know, what the library is using, and maybe we can mimic it. And again, they're a smaller scale than the township, of course, but I mean, I think there's things we could learn from. Anyhow.
The library has just created this.
Okay.
They've been going through all their policies and everything, and so that they found out that they had to have this, and so they've just done, it's the first time they've done this. And I'm pretty sure, I think during the term 2014-17, I know it was talked about, but I don't know if it was carried on in the next term, but I know that it was brought forward that, you know, we should be doing performance reviews of everybody, and not only that, sitting down and speaking with the individual staff members and asking them, you know, how they feel they're doing.
And the other
but
thing
I don't
I'll say
know
to you,
there's a record of it anywhere.
I used to have to say this at work all the time. This isn't meant to be used as a club to beat people. It's meant to be used as a tool that measures their performance and rewards them for good performance, right? I mean, that's the whole point. So this isn't so we can beat you up, and I'm saying that to staff as a whole, because we're not, right? But I think it's critical for everybody to understand what they think that how their performance is and what, you know, others think that the performance is. I'm unclear exactly what council's role on that would be, but I think at a minimum we could simply review them and to see that they make sense, right? That you know, that jives with our understanding. I don't think we're experts at all on what staff do, but you know, we should have a view on it, and I think we should have performance standards in place, right? And we can start small and build them forward. And I know money is tight, but I mean, I don't want to spend money for no reason. But truthfully, we're not capable of really developing a you know, an appropriate HR policy for the township, but we can hire consultants who do, and there are many of those, so.
Well, I think it can be done internally.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was done, as you said, years, even before 2014. Mm-hmm. So they can be researched, obviously there'll be things different. Much of it would be done, as I say, from department head to employees under that department head. You're right, I'm not really sure of the role of council necessarily, although council could help the staff, I suppose, devise a performance review.
And we can ask
we can share certainly with the library, and I think the library's been asking about a pay equity policy that we used to have in place years ago. So I think there can be a sharing. Yeah. Councilor Peck?
Yeah, it would be a good start would to be to review the template that the library board is using. But there were annual staff reviews. They were more casual than a performance review.
Okay.
That took place annually. But I think looking at the template that the library board's using and other, because I do know the AMCPO does encourage and stresses the importance of performance reviews.
I don't think we need to invent the wheel. We can borrow from lots of places. And again, we're not trying to build a monster, just build a simple tool that is beneficial, right? Both to the employee and the organization, so.
Okay, sounds good. On the to-do list?
Yeah.
Any other comments, discussion on the minutes? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, here. Resolution 23-487, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the minutes of the North Bay Prairie Sound District Unit Board of Health, Finance and Property Committee, and Labor / Employee Relations Committee meetings held on April 26, 2023. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-488, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Hassman. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the minutes of the March 27, 2023 and May 29, 2023 meetings of the Prairie Sound Area Planning Board. Any discussion of those minutes? Councilor Ryland.
There's a few things in here that at the very least piqued my interest. First one on page 3 under on the diamond consent. I mean, I see Kathy Hamer, who I don't recall having met or seen, but I'm asking about when an application should be a subdivision, and I know that we had a similar discussion when the consent came before council, but I don't know the answer, and I've gone looking through a number of documents and really can't find any definition of when we would use or require a plan of subdivision, but this one strikes me. I know there's been writings that I've received from ratepayers asking that question specifically, and frankly, I don't have an answer. But and I know it's perhaps not the right place to ask it here, but it is a concern to me that I don't know when we get to that threshold and, you know, what the differences are between a consent and a subdivision. But certainly this one, by the neighbors who came to our consent meeting several months ago, so Michael Cawley and I can't remember the other fellow's name, who's also a neighbor on the south side of Birdville. And certainly this was their question to us, and frankly I felt concerned during our conversation with them that we didn't have an answer, and I think it's critical to do, because otherwise if she comes back for, and it doesn't matter about the individual, but if anybody comes back repeatedly for more and more consents, I mean, at what point does it literally become a subdivision without having to meet any of the subdivision conditions, including, you know, internal roads and all that, and that's a big concern to me. So anyway, I saw it here. I know it's not germane to accepting this as a document, but by the same token, it's still a concern of mine about how we deal with this. And the official plan seems to be very imprecise is probably the best word in terms of how we do that. And I think that it needs to have a definition of when do you pass that threshold, right, so that it can be clear and so that we're applying it fairly and equitably when it's required. So there is also, if you give me, it's only a minute, but there's another item in here. Under page 4, although I think maybe that's right, under municipal compliance letter requirements, and this is in a McDougall thing. I'm curious because in paragraph 1 in on page 4 under the municipal compliance letter requirements, it says that the lots be subject to a 5126 consent agreement to be registered on title to recognize the private road status of the access road, that it be constructed to the municipality's private road standards, and the municipality's is to be indemnified for any responsibility or liability. I know we've had developments on or at least new homes built on private roads, quite a few of them off Highway 300 or what's that called now?
Cold Point Trail.
There you go, and you know. And yet I don't think that I've never seen those words in any of our consents, and I wonder if we should have them. That's my real point. And again, I acknowledge that my planning knowledge is not good, I'll say that. And I'm just wondering if that has any applicability in some of the situations that we're dealing with. But I looked at it from that. I started reading the document thinking, well, what else is here that for other townships that I really don't know? And is that a practice that we should be following as well? And again, it's not germane to accepting the document. It's more of a concern of should we be doing those kinds of things? And I don't believe our roads policy has a private road standard.
No, it doesn't.
At all,
and so that's why you haven't seen it in any consents. McDougall is one that does. And
yeah.
I've asked the planner, John Jackson, about that.
Yeah.
The problem we've had in the past, when private roads have gone in, they've actually asked, this is going way back now, I don't know, more recently, township employees, road supervisor, whoever, to look at it to make sure it's up to certain standards.
Sure.
And we've always said no. Then you're liable if you say it is,
hmm.
And you're not the inspector, you're not the engineer. And so we've always cautioned our employees not to get involved with private road standards. You're right, McDougall has taken it on. I'm not sure how they employ it. We have to talk to them if you want to go down that road. You know, pardon the pun, but...
I didn't catch that.
It's just a question of, you know, you are on a private piece of property. Now, I know you're in a situation, often those roads are brought up in the future, and you want a certain standard as a result before you assume them. So you'd like to have some say in what they put in the base and as a producing these roads. But it's just a question of what point do you get involved. We're going to find out probably on Deerfield, you know, when the survey is confirmed, the one that was done, that we were told even back then that some of the people had built on the 20-meter road lines. And so that would be a concern. Now, that wasn't a private road. That was an unassumed road at the start. But this is what happens in a lot of the private roads, because there aren't any rules, regulations as such. They just have a right-of-way. They start building wherever, and then when it comes time to assume or turn them over to the township, then you run into more problems. So I would say to be able to look at it at the beginning, that's probably a good idea, but first of all, a lot of them don't even want the road. They just want the right-of-way, and a lot of lots are sold with that you know, condition. So I'm just not sure how far we want to go at this point with private road standards. I mean, I've watched the previous council go through the come up with our roads policy, and that wasn't even dealing with private roads. That was just dealing with the township policy for unassumed roads and whatever's in the municipal jurisdiction. So I'm not sure.
Would that also have to be in the official plan as well? I mean, as well as the roads?
Well, yes, we have. Well, that's, so, that's actually our official plan and the zoning. That's a major undertaking coming up shortly, I hope. That would have to be part of the policy.
Anyway, I mentioned simply because it piqued my interest and thought, yeah, how come that? I mean, how come I've never seen that on any of ours? And initially, my reaction was just to look at again at any McKellar items, but then I started thinking, well, what are the other ones saying? And that's what I did. So anyway, I have no objection to the resolution or anything else. I'm just curious about those items. So,
any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-489, moved by Councillor Cuckington, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby received the accounts payable preliminary check run report for June 2023 for information purposes. Any discussion of those figures? Councillor Cuckington.
Well, we try not to ask questions, particular questions at this point, but there are a few things that do come to raise some questions, and I don't know if the deputy clerk can answer these questions.
I can try to answer them, and if not, I can pass them on to Roshan for tomorrow.
Okay, and we don't want to make it lengthy, just, you know, some, but the, I thought there was going to be a change from the fuel supplier. It says here it's still McDougall Energy. I thought we were purchasing the tanks, and then we were going to be changing the fuel supplier.
I haven't been made aware of that yet, but I'll confirm with Greg and Roshan tomorrow.
Okay, the child safety signs, are those children playing signs?
No, so they are physical children. They're an outcut of a child that say slow down, and they were placed on Herdville Road.
So those that at one location?
I know it was placed at Herdville Road for a fact. I'm not sure if Greg posted it at other locations as well.
So that one that we seen there was $567.
I can't confirm the amount of signs purchased, but I know the sign was for...
Are you talking about the stand-up one of, like, a little girl? That'd be very hard to believe. Would be my opinion. I don't know.
What page are you on?
So that is page 2. Cedar signs, child safety signs.
Greg may have purchased other signs from Cedar Signs, but the caption may only read child safety. Because I'll have to look into that.
I think he was purchasing signs for down at the post office too, because he was waiting for those to come in, so that for the no parking there, just for the post office.
Okay.
He was still waiting on signs to come in for that, so that might be part of it too.
We'll have to confirm what it actually encompasses, and it is plural, so it's more than one sign.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I think that's it. There are some things that appear quite a few times that normally wouldn't appear, like telephone billing. Normally they would come under just one.
Something happened there. Maybe Mary has more information on that.
Yeah, so we weren't paying one supplier for a few months because the invoices weren't making it to the township office. So then we were made aware of that. So there will be a bunch of invoices coming through that you'll see, that are back payments from previous months.
Okay.
Those are all for cell phones. I did ask for
correct,
something about
yes,
it today.
Yeah.
To that, so.
Okay.
Yep.
He tells me he only pays one bill with one check too, not you know, 900 bills or whatever. That's an exaggeration.
Yeah.
Not the listing that's here anyways.
Page 9, near the top, maybe you know, or maybe you can confirm the amount for the cleanup. Apart. The total there, I'm just wondering, did Greg have any more information on whether that was being covered or whether we were paying the full shot up as a township? Or
I believe we're still dealing with our insurance company on that item.
Okay.
Yeah, well, Sean told me that this afternoon too. I came in just so I could ask him all these things. So.
Well, it's good of you to share. Then I didn't have to ask.
I'm sorry. Well, if I knew you were going to ask, I would have shared.
No, okay.
I wasn't concealing it. I was just trying to, you know, move the meeting along. That's
yeah.
All. So.
So direct your questions.
Yeah. No.
That's right.
I had a chance because I asked him if I could ask him some questions, and he said yes, so I did. But.
So that's in process right now, and there may be some funding coming from the insurance company, and we were advised that there might be another entity that might be providing some funding
yeah.
for that as well?
Yes, Rashawn's still actively working on it.
Okay.
Yeah, because the Coast Guard, we asked the Coast Guard, and the Coast Guard refers to another federal agency who said that they would fund it, could fund it at least anyway, and I'm not up to date on the status. I did not ask that question today. But.
Page 18, just almost halfway down. 503 Fire Marshals Public Fire Safety Council. Was that a course that was taken? I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
I'm not aware of it, but it does say public education, so I'm assuming it is a training course, but I can ask for Rob on clarification for
right.
that.
Okay. Probably was. Yeah, those are all my questions. Any other discussion?
I have a question.
Oh, okay.
It's just on the, Okay, on page 10, cultural. So, it's $942. That's for the base for the horse?
I'm not sure.
Hmm.
Like it says cement and wood and things.
I would assume so, yes, because it says say cement bags, 150th committee,
yeah,
so
right.
That would be what that is for.
Okay, so that's not included in the, like in the cost for the horse, like the money that was put aside for the, that would be separate, would it be?
I'm not sure, I'll have to confirm.
That's okay.
Yeah, I think there'd be a set price for the person who created it,
yeah,
and then anything else to go with it, yeah, I don't think that person would be covering that in the cost.
No.
I think it would be
okay.
extra.
So, you know, I did have questions regarding two things listed under cultural, because is that cultural in the budget? Just because the that base was supposed to be a donation in kind from the Public Works, was the construction of the base and the the moving of the monument itself. So I'm wondering, is this coming out of the cultural section in the budget as well? Listed under cultural is, so that's community center. Anyways, so
it's a donation in kind from Public Works, it wouldn't be coming out of cultural, I would think. Probably coming out of Public Works somewhere.
Yeah. Okay, so that could be
for a cultural purpose. But
right.
It does get confusing.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it may come out of, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'd have to find out the facts, but the Roads Department does have the parks and the recreation portion of their budget. And it's saying their total parks and recreation facilities. So it should be coming out of the roads budget, but out of the park and recreation portion.
Yeah, but that title goes with what's above.
Yeah.
The culture is.
Oh, right.
Which is one of the headings in the budget. Anyways, we can investigate this further, just because there was another item that was listed under cultural, and I'm not just, yeah, just wanted to determine exactly where it's coming out of the budget.
Okay, so that can be passed on to the treasurer for
yes.
More information. Any further discussion? Zulak, you had another one?
No.
Okay, call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 23-490, moved by Councillor Haskins, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved that Council of Corporation and Township of Keller is hereby received the AMCTO Advocacy Update regarding Strong Mayor Implementation and Education Act Consultation Opportunity. And further, that the template letter provided by AMCTO and addressed to the Ministry of Education be personalized and submitted to the consultation, noting it will be accepted after the comment submission date of July 12, 2023. Discussion?
Instead of saying submitted to the consultation, I assume we're talking about the AMCTO and everything else, and I recognize that they call it a consultation opportunity, but shouldn't it say submitted to AMCTO? Just in other words, a change of the word? Delete the consultation and add AMCTO, right? That's my point, because I don't refer to it as the consultation. It implies that it is an entity in and of itself, and I don't think it is. Not by reading this anyway, so. And it's only semantics, I agree. So, I mean, if you don't want to, I'm okay with not, other than I just find it misleading to say that.
Well, above it does talk about the consultation opportunity.
Yeah.
So.
But again, the agency that's doing the consultation.
Which is also mentioned in the first.
Yeah.
So it's just saying that it's the AMCTO consultation, so. I know what you're saying, but to me,
I'm okay if we don't. I'm
yeah.
just saying it would be clearer to me if we actually just named the AMCTO.
Councilor Keck.
I think the confusion is that this resolution is incorporating two different topics in the information provided by AMCTO. One was specifically with the strong mayors and trying to get some feedback and input in how that's affecting municipalities or.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking about the strong mayor's implementation and another item being the Ministry of Education Regulation 304 under the Education Act.
So the two different topics, and it would be good if it were separated into individual resolutions because I think that there is some benefit for, you know, the interactive opportunity regarding the implementation of strong mayors. because it sort of leads on that this may be something that is going to be progressing to other municipalities as well. So it's good to have sort of some feedback on how it's impacting municipalities currently. As implementation goes forward and as other municipalities may be added to the regulation in the coming months, we will consider additional opportunities to support our members.
And they've already added quite a few extra to the original.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this is in regards to that 304, right? Regulation 304 about the schools and the voting and the gymnasiums and
right, so now
percentage
it's
of people that show up in that?
The publication with both topics.
I'd like to know how many PA days a year they have, and are
so
they going
so
to add an additional PA day for a
so I can delete the strong mayor's part of this part and then put it in another resolution?
So, because it'd be one thing if we were accepting this for information purposes
and not endorsing it,
and not, yeah, because it's confusing to.
Yeah, if we're referring to the Ministry of Education one, we definitely should not be to the consultation. We should be to the Ministry of Education as per the sample that they provided,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's much clearer who's submitting it. As to the first one for the strong mayors thing, I'm not sure. Now I'm rereading it.
What they really want us to do.
Yes, exactly. That's my point. I was trying to find a way to say that nicely. So, and again, I see now where it comes from. The very last line says, and submit to the consultation. But at the very least, it is less than clear. I mean, we are submitting to the AMCTO consultation, if we wanted to say that. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt what we would do. But why would we say the resolution were repeating an obvious problem that they created in their letter to us,
yeah.
if indeed it is a letter? But
I think we're going to see a complete change here.
Yeah.
I think just from looking at this, is download the template letter, and that probably is a different letter than what's.
Yes.
Done.
Yeah. Yeah, and presumably that would name it too. So.
Morley, can you move for a second that other? Oh, it did, sorry.
Sure. Sorry?
Yeah, never mind. I was looking at the
No, I'm perfectly happy with that. That is exactly what I think they're asking, although I guess without looking at the template, how would we know? But and sorry, I missed where you came up with the words consultation, but when you finally look at it closer, you go, yeah, I see where that comes from. But it still implies that the consultation is some kind of entity, and it is not, right? It's a group of people from AMCTO, I assume, but.
So, resolution 23-490 now reads, moved by Councillor Hassan, seconded by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Tungsten Colour has hereby received the AMCTO advocacy update regarding Education Act consultation opportunity. Further, that the template letter provided by AMCTO and addressed to the Ministry of Education be personalized and submitted to AMCTO, noting it will be accepted after the comment submission date of July 12th, 2023.
Yep.
Discussion? Sound better?
Yep.
Okay. Call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And we have resolution 23-491, moved by Councillor Ryan and seconded by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Colour does hereby receive the AMCTO advocacy update regarding strong mayor implementation for information purposes. Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-492, moved by Councillor Zulak, seconded by Councillor Pekkanen. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby support the correspondence received from the Town of Bradford West Gwillimbury, dated June 9th, 2023, in regards to the right to repair movement condition,
And further, that a copy of this resolution and letter be shared with the Minister of Innovation, Science and Economic Development, the Minister of Agriculture and their critics, the Member of Parliament for Muskoka Parry Sound, and to the Federation of Canadian Municipalities, FCM, and to the Association of Municipalities of Ontario, AMO. Discussion? Councillor Keegan?
I know that in some European countries that is mandatory, that whatever is manufactured is repairable and easily repairable, to ensure that we don't continually go down the road of a throwaway society.
So can we help enforce that if you go in now to buy a cord or something for your phone? And it has to be, you know, has to be adaptable, and can you find an all-purpose one? They're very specific, so I think it's a good move. I'm not sure if the manufacturers will ever do that, but
well, they're doing it in European countries.
Yeah,
so
the European Union passed laws about this about 3 months ago. I remember reading about it in some detail, not endless detail, because you can read more. I'm curious about the farming angle here, and it obviously, having never been a farmer and having really no appreciation for it, my question is this an issue about electronic things that they're using, like as per the resolution that Bradford passed on this? I mean, is there, I think there's a right to repair on everything, don't get me wrong, but I mean, is there a particular farm issue? That's what struck me from reading this, that's all. Is there something new or unique that happens with farm and farm equipment that is a right to repair issue? But
well, I think when you look at the cost, if you can repair, say, a baler, a round baler,
sure.
If you are able to repair that without all the electronics that's involved in it, like to buy a new baler, like it's, how can you afford to buy a new
sure.
one every,
sure.
you know, I don't even know how long they last anymore, like every 5 or 10 years, when you could repair it yourself
okay.
or get the parts to repair it. Now, when everything is, I think a lot of the stuff is electronic.
Mm.
So, you know, you have to probably get a new computer to put in it and stuff. And that, I
yeah.
know if to put a new computer in your vehicle is like $3,000 or $4,000. So
sure.
what would it cost to put in your machinery?
I have no trouble supporting it. It was just curiosity when I read it. Farming wouldn't have come to mind, certainly at the top of the list, that's all. But
yeah.
I'm
well, it's a very short
this.
Short
yeah.
period, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have to, when it's time to do your stuff, you have to get it done, right?
Yeah.
And that's usually when things go wrong.
Yeah.
And then you can't get stuff. That's my thoughts.
Okay. Mike, you got any thoughts on that? I mean, is that your...
I think they must be having specific, you know, issues with machinery, like that necessarily does not need to have a computer.
Mm.
They never needed it for the last 50 years, so why would a, you know, it might be something that makes things a little more convenient, or I think that probably that's what they're running into. I'd like to look into this a little further.
Sure.
But,
sure. Well, anyway, thank you. I'm just trying to get some perspective, that's all.
And as it does say here, especially during the growing season, so you have this very small window of opportunity, and if you're waiting for parts which aren't even necessary, but have been added to this equipment, and you're waiting for months, so you've missed your window
sure.
of opportunity.
Sure.
Probably more noticeable in the last couple of years when the supply diminished almost everywhere. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was the issue with the computer chips. If someone needs a computer chip, you know, a lot of industries couldn't get them, so they were holding up sales.
Yeah, even vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I couldn't buy a new truck 2 years in a row, and since then I've decided I'm just going to keep it, because basically they couldn't give me one. So, turns out it was a good thing for me. It saved me a lot of money. So,
any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-493, moved by Councillor Ryan, second by Councillor Hassman. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby support the Town of Alton Hills Resolution Number 2023-0125 and related correspondence regarding reducing municipal insurance costs. And further, that this support resolution be forwarded to the Association of Municipalities of Ontario, AMO, Minister of Finance, the Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing, and Muskoka Perry Sound MPP Grayden Smith. Discussion? Councillor Zula.
Carly, would you know of our insurance has increased it that much?
Roshan's currently working with our insurance company to update the policy, so they've sent him correspondence to fill in, which is very lengthy, and it's determining liability throughout the entire township. So he's currently working with them, so he should be getting an updated quote soon.
And because it's so detailed, probably will be more. Yes. Mm-hmm. Councilor Kekkonen?
Just in the terms of council that I served, I recall it was previously around $30,000 for all of our facilities, rolling stock and everything. And the last renewal was, I believe it was $98,000. You know, it was a significant increase, and Halton Hills, there's increased from $594,404 to $2,073,000 from 2017 to 2023, so during that same type of time period.
I have no problem supporting it, but I mean, frankly, they're not proposing any concrete actions as to how that could be accomplished. And I suspect that a person like the minister and things getting this, I think they're just going to turn it aside because they're not making any practical contribution to the solution.
No, but that's where someone like you reads this and you know, has an insight into this and may find look at what other provinces are doing and see that is this applicable to Ontario.
I support the resolution. I'm just saying that it's not. I don't find it helpful to anybody. So,
but someone may, you know,
yeah,
get some inspiration.
It's
and
mother
something
is what
it
is. So,
any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. Resolution 23-494, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen, be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby received a memo dated July 18th, 2023 from Carly Britton, Deputy Clerk / Planning Assistant, in regards to Wi-Fi internet servicing options for Minerva Park, and further that Council authorized the purchase of option 1 in the amount of $666.85 plus applicable HST and shipping to provide Wi-Fi internet to users in Minerva Park once they have entered a secure password, and further that the device be paid from the McKellar Markets operating budget and the monthly internet charges continue to be paid from the Public Works operating budget. Discussion? Councilor Zulak.
So, Carly, is that $666.85, is that for like 3 months or something?
No, so the unit itself is a one-time purchase. And if the location were to change in the future, say we didn't want internet at Minerva Park for some reason, it could be moved to another building to boost Wi-Fi into a different area.
Okay, so that total there, that's to purchase the equipment. And then is that for the monthly fee also? Is
no, there is no monthly fee. It's just a one-time fee.
It's hardware. It's a one-time purchase.
Oh, I thought it said $266.
Yeah, that's the question. So in the resolution it says $666, Carly, but
sorry,
in your memo it says $266.
I'll have to amend the resolution.
Yeah. So it says $266
okay,
twice. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's the right number. But
so the correct number is $266.85.
Okay. That's why I was wondering if it was 3 months or something.
Carly, the sorry.
Yep.
No, go ahead. Councilor Ryan.
My question is simply, even if you had the best device to share it, the limitation is really the ExploreNet. It's not called ExploreNet anymore, so it's called Explore without the final E. But nevertheless, without knowing the bandwidth that that provides, it's like trying to put an elephant through a straw, right? In other words, the device will, yes, it will allow me to see that there is a device, but it won't allow me to use it, which I think is the big factor here. I had a conversation with Jan when I saw this morning, because obviously Jan's mentioned on it. Number one, she did not receive a copy of this memo, which I have some grief with as well. I think, you know, on the basis that A, she's staff, and B, this is, you know, an issue raised by her, that at a minimum we could have copied her on this. I'm not saying she'd come to the meeting or whatever, but at least she should be aware of it. So I went through it with her, and no doubt that she's on side with this in principle, for sure, about adding this, and this is critical for her vendors to be able to use point-of-sale equipment at the market, like absolutely critical. My point is that I don't have an issue with the device, but again, I don't believe ExploreNet. I went on ExploreNet site and spent 20 minutes, 30 minutes looking at it. I can't find anything that promises a throughput speed, bandwidth, in other words. And again, Jan tells me that on average at the markets that she has 4,000 people over 4 hours that come in, so an average of 1,000 people that could potentially be, you know, including members of the public, not just the vendors. She has 65 vendors. She says on average there's like 2 people that would be using it for sales. So that would be 130 people. She says there's about 10 other volunteers, including, well, she's not a volunteer, including herself. So, I mean, if we said there was 150 people, simply put, people trying to use the internet, it'll just fail because the ExploreNet device itself is not capable of supporting this, right? Not even vaguely close. And frankly, from my views of things like this on Facebook in particular, I don't believe there's a single solitary user in the world that likes ExploreNet, right, and complains about it bitterly. So,
Just for correction, I think Jan was part of the conversation at the start, maybe correct me on that.
Yeah, so
she was consulted.
Okay,
Jan was forwarded the initial email from Dan Hildebrandt with the quotations for the 3 options. That was my error. I did not forward her this memorandum specifically.
Sure.
Dan is on Zoom. I don't know if he wanted to chime in regarding ExploreNet's
Just to be clear, I'm not critical of not doing it. I'm just saying that, you know, it would have been nice if she'd seen it, because when I talked to her, she wasn't aware this was on the agenda, and she wasn't aware that this memo existed. She was aware of the content. I'm not saying she wasn't aware of those things. She just didn't see it.
Yes.
So all I'm saying is I have a preference that in the future, if we had this, that we copy her
on. No, that was an error on my part.
And I'm not critical. I am not. So.
Now, I think we have ExploreNet or Explore.
Yeah.
Corrected it
yeah.
In the public works garage. I think that's why that option was chosen. But maybe if Dan is there, yes, he can respond. I think Dan recommended one of the options. I think it was option 1.
Yeah, no, I can hear you guys fine. So comment on the comments around the ExploreNet. Yeah, that could be a limitation. You know, as I discussed with Carly, though, the use if the the primary use was the debit machines. That's a very low volume. So in principle, you know, obviously there are no guarantees. There's no guarantees with any service. And I agree with the comment on ExploreNet being not the best service. It is what's available there right now. It definitely should still be fairly capable as long as people aren't attempting to stream movies or do other things that create and use additional bandwidth. I know that's going to be tough to limit. Is the service going to be used by the vendors alone, or is the general public going to use it as well?
When I talked to Jan about this morning, Dennis Nick, sorry, when I talked to Jan about this morning, frankly, I don't know that it was clear in her mind exactly what the use is. I mean, I think it's fair to say that any member of the public could be available to use it, but if we allowed them to use it during market hours, I suspect that that would have a very detrimental effect upon, you know, point of sale machines. You know, mostly using I already forgot the name of it.
Square.
Sorry.
Square.
Yes, Square. I mean, and you know, and other uses that they might need. So I mean, so on the one hand, you know, she would like it to be for anybody and not just during market hours or market days. But on the other hand, if we had 1,000 users and even a couple hundred were using the internet for whatever they're using it for, and again, I doubt that they would be streaming movies while walking around the market. It's possible, but doubtful. But I mean, you know, the more people we put through the funnel, the more that it's going to get congested and the slower it's going to get, and then it'll be of no use to anybody. So in truth, I think ExploreNet is the basic problem, but I mean, we do need to try and decide it. And even after spending a considerable time with Jan on these issues, it was less than clear to me by the end of it exactly who we were doing this for. Certainly the vendors. That's a given, but that's like 4 hours a week. So, I mean, what about the rest of the time? And I don't have an objection to members of the public using it any more than they do the library one out here. And I have seen people there frequently when coming to get our packages and stuff and talk to people about it and, you know, see what they think. But my point is that I simply don't think that that ExploreNet will work for this process. In other words, we can distribute the signal, but that isn't the solution to the problem. There isn't enough bandwidth for it to run. right? Even for the 130 people that are vendors, effectively, I mean, there's only 65 vendors per se, but Jan says on average there's two people handling sales at most of her tents or spots. So my point being that I just don't think this is viable for us. The other question I had, I don't know if you know this, Dan, do you know what our current usage of ExploreNet at the Public Works Yard is? In other words, what kind of, how many gigabytes are...
Like, I don't know specifically, but it's very light use.
Yeah.
It's not heavy use right. at all.
No, I assume that, too, because, I mean, let's face it, those guys are out, well, they don't have an office, but, I mean, notwithstanding that they're not there, they're out working, right? So, and I think that even goes for Greg. I mean, let's face it, from my personal knowledge of Greg, I mean, I see him out and about all over the place, so it's not like he's sitting there typing memos, because that's not his job, or at least that isn't how he spends his time, so... I'm not worried about it from that perspective. I'm simply worried about having a huge volume of people that would potentially use it that would defeat the purpose of us doing this. Admitting that $266 is basically nothing and all the rest. But I have a suggestion for you if you want to hear it, Dan, I mean, and or council. I think the solution, frankly, and you're going to probably blow a gasket when I say this, our solution is to put in Starlink at Minerva Park and share it with Public Works, because I would imagine our usage of Public Works is extremely minimal, much less than a normal household, right? And therefore, we could use it and then transmit the signal over to Public Works, and then we would have enough bandwidth to be able to handle hundreds of users at the same time, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree in that regard. That's definitely a good option. Obviously, the residential version you could get quite cheaply, or is that what you were thinking, just adding an additional service?
Well, I went and looked at what used to be called Starlink Business, like we have here at the community center, and it's now like half the price of what we pay, both for the monthly fees as well as the actual hardware purchase. And truthfully, in reading the fine print from Starlink, it's obvious to me that they don't want a residential line. They don't call it that anymore, but they don't want the basic plan used for hundreds of users, because it simply won't support it. And again, if it doesn't meet the need that we're trying to solve for, then why would we do it at all, right? So I think, truthfully, I think it's now called Starlink Premium. I swear to God, they changed the name of their products about once a week. But, the equivalent to what we have here, which I know is a lot more expensive, but by the same token, it would meet the business need that we're trying to solve for. And I think it opens up opportunities for our vendors to get even more business, not just handling the point of sale, but also directing people to their website. If I'm buying widget X and it only comes here, they only have the pink ones and I want the purple ones, and then I can say to them, well, here, go to our website because you can order it there, and then we can have it for you whatever next week, next month, whatever the case may be, if you follow. So in other words, it expands the scope of what they're able to do. It also occurs to me that, truthfully, if we did this, that I know that most vendors have paid for their market stalls for the entire year already, so I don't think we could do this year, but if we did this and we wanted to recover a portion of the cost, if we added an extra $5 or $10 per vendor spot, then we could recover the cost of doing this. In other words, it would be cost neutral to the township in 2024. And everything else. And I know there are some people that only come and pay for a week here and there, and I don't know what splits are or anything else like that. But where we can, I think we should pass cost along, a nominal cost to a vendor, because it's in their best interest. And frankly, I can't believe that any vendor would lose sales or turn away sales simply because they can't meet the technical need to be able to use their point of sale machine. So, but well, again,
I guess the question. Go ahead.
Yep.
That's okay.
Yep.
So what I'm seeing here is, there does not seem to be an imminent need. The vendors have their point of sales using their own data. This is something that if we want to discuss it for long term,
sure.
Why do people go to Minerva Park? To stream, or to sit there and enjoy the nature that's in front of them. Is that what we want to encourage, to enjoy that beautiful little location and just, wind down and I don't see here that there's an absolute need for this, but if we did want to go this route, it's not going to be, there's no cost really. We're saving, if we even go up to the 250 gigabytes per month, by the research that Carly's done, it seems to indicate that we're going to be saving 54 or 43 a month. So you know, so we're not losing, so, you know, this the Wi-Fi unit is only $266.85. So if you want to limit for $266.85 plus savings on the upgraded ExploreNet package, it's not costing us anything if we wanted to have it limited to password, the password limited to those vendors who may need to, you know.
Other than you still face the bandwidth problem, there just isn't enough bandwidth to handle it, in truth, even for 130 of them. 150, let's say, by the time you add in other volunteers that may or may not use it. And I don't think, I'm not planning on anybody streaming anything while at Minerva. I mean, and frankly, if they said they wanted to, just say no, right? That's not what it's there for. Right, we want you to be able to conduct business at the market, to buy goods or to order goods or whatever you want to do while you're there. And as for the general public, I have no problem with when the market isn't in use for them using it for any internet purpose they wish to, but not at the same time as we're trying to run the market, because we'll kill it.
Yeah, so we need to look at what is the short term and what's the long term goal here.
Yeah.
You know, for $266, we can make data available to our vendors.
If
to
it
assist
works.
Them.
If it works. If it doesn't, then we spent it for nothing and we'll frustrate people a lot more than they're frustrated today.
Well, we took a gamble on Starlink.
We did.
It worked.
I have no doubt that it works. I have it at home and it works. But
like
but you can't put an elephant through a straw.
But as Councillor Kekkonen said, they have nothing now. And you're not even willing to give them an opportunity for this low price to give it a chance to see if it would work. You're just saying, no, Starlink. And you didn't put any figures on that, any cost. I hesitate, the premium, you know, what it might cost. And just for the park itself, and I think I have to go back to what Councillor Kekkonen said, is that the purpose of our park?
Okay.
To have it wired so that people can get down and stream movies and whatever they want to do, because the market's only, as you said yourself, 3-4 hours a week.
Yeah.
Most of the time it'd be people like to use here at the library, I think, and anybody stopping in there, but...
What's also missing, if I could just add, I mean, is we need to define exactly what we are trying to solve for. In other words, is it to provide general internet service to our well, not necessarily even our ratepayers, but people who come to McKellar, or is it to provide it to vendors, or is it for both? And if we answer the first question, it's not really for the general public, because they can come here and do that, like, you know, 724. So is it really just for the vendors? And I agree, spending $266 one time to do it, and that's before the savings on the monthly plan, is a good solution, and if nothing else, we could find out if it's beneficial. Does it solve everything? No, but does it make it better? Probably, and you're right, a lot of people might definitely are using a hotspot on their phone to do this. I think that's the only way it would be working today, right? But so I don't have a problem with that, and the savings, you know, moving to the monthly plan, but again, I suspect that for public works itself, that 50 gigabytes is probably about 10 times what they need anyway, so 250 is just that much more. But, you know, it would help. It doesn't hinder, and it's cheaper. So there's no rational basis to say, no, we shouldn't do that. Of course we should do that, right? And if you want to go ahead with the 266, I mean, I'm okay with that, too. We'll find out what happens. But